Hey everyone, and welcome to the Buffer Overflow podcast, where we talk, tackle, and dissect all sorts of topics about software engineering, its culture, and how we do it in a remote company of about 100 people. I'm here today with my good friends, Jordan and Steve. How are you both doing?
Doing great.
Yeah, doing great. Happy to be here today.
Yeah, good to have you both here. Yeah, so I'm really excited to talk about this episode today. We've got Steve here, who's our new mobile or apps team product manager. And looking forward to digging into how we're now adapting to having a PM. So yeah, for those who might have not chatted to you yet, Steve, would you be up for introducing yourself?
Yeah, name's Steve. I'm, like Joe says, the new product manager on the apps team here at Buffer. Been here over 90 days now, which really flew by. It's crazy to think how fast that time flew by. But yeah, been in the product management game for about 4 years now. Really heavy background in customer advocacy support before that. I've been working in advocacy and tech support for about the last decade or so before that. So yeah, just happy to be bringing that skill set over to the apps team and taking some work off of your guys' hands and helping frame some problems for you guys around how we can better help the customers. So it's been really exciting, really exciting onboarding with you guys and looking forward to building some stuff with you guys for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And what's actually interesting is that mobile the apps team have never actually had someone in like an official PM role. So we've had people who have like worn the hat and we kind of distributed the responsibilities between ourselves, but we never actually had a PM, which is, it's been interesting. I mean, in my time at Buffer, and I guess Jordan, you've been here a year longer than me. I don't know if it was much different from when I joined to when you joined.
No. Yeah, it was... Ever since our first mobile engineer, Andy, we've never had a formal PM. So give or take 8 to 10 years, I guess, in totality of being PM-less, if you will.
Yeah. And when I joined, I feel like we were mainly kind of doing what web was doing. So if web implemented a feature, we'd kind of just piggyback off that and build the feature too. Was that the case as well, like before I joined?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of been this cat and mouse game where we kind of looked at what web did and tried to maybe think how that fit in mobile, or just kind of carte blanche, take all the features and put them into the mobile app. But I think we found over the years very quickly and at many different intervals throughout our 10 years, both of ours, that was either like a great idea or a terrible idea. And we kind of would oscillate between that. Like, well, we need feature parity. Mm. Oh, well, actually, does this even fit in mobile? Like, what does mobile look like? So very indicative of not having a PM in many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it's even as a PM on the team, where that's my full-time job, that is still a very hard thing to grapple with and make sense of, kind of road mapping where the team should go and what's going to make the most sense for our users who consume us, especially predominantly through the mobile app. Like I say, it's a full-time job for me, and I can't imagine what it would have been like to be trying to do that while you're also kind of building the app. I always use a train analogy. Laying the track in front of yourselves as the train barrels down the tracks is never a comfortable place to be.
Yeah, and before and after that kind of period, like when our old EM, engineering manager, he used to work on the Android platform with me. And when he moved to a managerial role, he also started to wear more of that PM hat and take on more of that responsibility of the PM responsibility. So it was kind of juggling between the EM role and the PM role and kind of managing us and making sure we had work to do at the same time, which was interesting, which, you know, we had stuff to do. But again, I feel like still in that time, it was mainly the cat and mouse game with web.
Absolutely. And yeah, we tried a few different things on our own. Like I remember on a mobile retreat that we had, maybe our first or second, we did the classic throw up a bunch of post-it notes on the wall and figure out what the product, you know, is going to be and what it's going to look like and things that we should try. So we had like a few inklings of PMing, if that's a verb, right? Over our time. And on one hand, it was kind of cool to explore that and, grow to respect that skill set more as someone who hasn't done it much before. But on the other hand, it kind of leaves you rudderless in a way to where you're just kind of reacting to a lot of situations and not really responding to the way that the industry's going or really maybe what the users would want or need. But, you know, we still made it work. But yeah, I'll always remember that as our grand PM moment was the giant wall of Post-it notes. It popped up in my photos widget the other day from that retreat. That was always a lot of fun.
I guess similar to that as well, when we had like a, it was called a summit, similar to a retreat, but more like heads down time, I guess, where that was where we came up with Remix, wasn't it? And we had the session with the marketing team over Zoom.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where we got Remix, I think, is where that came from.
Yeah, yeah. So that, I guess that's a similar kind of thing. Like we looked at problems that we were trying to solve, and we had, I can't remember how many app ideas we had, and we kind of nailed it down to Remix. Well, yeah, the product that was Remix. So yeah, that was, I guess that's not directly related to publish, but it still was something that we set out to build.
Yeah, it's so interesting, and even thinking about what that'd be like even like talking about like an EM trying to fill the PM role and stuff like that, and engineers trying to fill in the gaps, it's you know, there's such distinct responsibilities and areas of ownership between those kind of three core roles of like an engineering manager, the dev team, and the PM, and like I can only imagine the conflict that goes on in the EM's head when they also have to think as a PM to continue my train analogy, where the PM has to decide where the train should go and the EM has to make sure the train gets there in good shape and on time, kind of thing. It's you know, that's, like I say, those are both very distinct areas of ownership, full-time jobs, and you know, I can only imagine what it's like to try to bear that as a team while you're, you know, building the platform. It's a unique challenge for sure. Kind of crazy how long the team managed to do it so successfully, really.
Yeah, and manage it we did for many, many years. I say manage in air quotes. So once we kind of got to the point where I think the feedback was pretty consistent across the team that, hey, all of these other teams have these fancy PMs that are planning out amazing work. Could we get one of those? Was kind of what we said. And lo and behold, a wild Steve appeared. But for years, yeah, we were just kind of winging it, to be honest. And the weird thing is we kind of made it work-ish, which kind of leads to this funny notion of, is a PM like going to kind of slow us down? Like, do we actually really need a PM? And, you know, all these thoughts and, you know, those are all those conversations we had before we set out to, you know, write the actual job posts and listing. But for a team that's been together at Buffer for quite a while, Joe, you're what, 5 years this year?
Yeah, it's just gone 5 years.
Yeah, okay. Five, and I'm at six. Andy's at, I don't know, the whole entire history of Buffer. You know, and then we have Pratik, who's been here quite a while on Android too. We don't see a lot of change, especially in personnel. So change can be a little bit scary and different. So I'm curious, from your point of view, Steve, was it kind of interesting to come into a team that you knew had no PM for all these years?
Oh, 100%. It was like, I remember talking to Marcus, the engineering manager at the time, when I was interviewing about it. And, you know, I think the biggest kind of, I guess, fear that I had was this team had a reputation, like you guys talk about. You guys have been together a long time, very successful, in spite of the fact that you were all kind of wearing the PM hat together, and had a real reputation of being a team that did great work and moved really quickly. And I think one of the biggest fears I had was, well, how can I maintain that sense that the team is still moving quickly, performing at a high level? But also at the same time, we were going to have to make some changes. We were going to have to redistribute the workload a little bit. And just by nature of, I think one of the advantages the team probably had without a PM in the room, everyone kind of had the engineering context and for lack of a better word, speaks the same language, where you know, like a PM coming in and joining the team, like GitHub's not going to make sense to me. I can't just go read your PRs and see where the work is at. So there was that kind of like that context that started to need to be shared up from the engineering team to me, so that I had a sense of what was going on. I was worried about that slowing you guys down, but then also in turn, kind of taking away the PM aspects from you guys, and then also having to build in some sort of resources or processes for us so that I could make sure in turn I'm sharing the context about what I'm thinking, where we're going with the roadmap and what our priorities are right now. So I think that was the biggest thing for me. It was just trying to make sure, or at least attempting to. I don't know how successful I was. That's probably more up to you guys, but just trying not to make too many changes too quickly, and focusing more on the how we were going to work than what we were going to do for the first 90 days. I'm glad we took that time. That was the biggest thing that was on my mind. I'm curious to hear what you guys were thinking.
Yeah, well, I must say you've done a great job with that, because I remember early on in the conversations when we were kind of molding the PM role, one of my fears was like, what I don't want to have happen is we get someone come in and then it's just different drastically, not different by necessity, because it has to be different a little bit, right? Because you have this new important role on the team. But like, we're going to spend, you know, like an hour meeting every week doing story points and burn down charts and all of those things, because that was my experience at previous positions. And I really didn't want to do that and lose that kind of speed and agility that we had. So I think one thing that's been good for me, at least, is how you kind of came in and said, we do need more context sharing. We do need to get all on the same page, obviously, because we're working together. But what does that look like for you all? You know, what sounds good? Instead of just kind of drawing the line in the sand and saying, all right, we live in Jira now. Follow me as your grand PM as we have zombie meetings every day, you know, because, you know, not having had a PM before, I didn't know what to expect. So that part of it, I think, has been a really good transition, and, you know, not one that I've made before in my career, but an important one nonetheless, because as the PM, right, you need kind of the overall picture, and communicating that as an engineer to the PM, and the PM kind of communicating that back out to the org is really not as time consuming and or difficult as I thought it would be. So that's been good on my end.
Yeah, that's very cool to hear. And I think it's, you know, I think I've worked places where product management was like that. And I think one of the coolest things about joining Buffer was there's that sense of ownership or autonomy around, like, we can decide how we work best, especially with Buffer being so remotely distributed, all the teams kind of having a different makeup. I kind of recognized right from the start, like we talked about the members of our team. Andy's on the west coast of the United States. I'm only an hour away from him, but like the spread between us and Pratik on the kind of the far end of thing, like there's I think it's something like 14 hours between us as a team. And so it was just really clear for me from the get-go that, like, you know, like a traditional Scrum process with daily stand-ups and all of those like story pointing meetings, et cetera, like that didn't make sense for us. And so I think the thing that's exciting about a place like Buffer is that we didn't have to just kind of conform to that process. I've also been in similar situations where it's like the mandate comes down from product leadership. This is how all teams will work. And every team had to have these story pointing meetings, et cetera. Whereas I think for us, it's just been more of like, as long as we're all aligned on what the most important things are and where we're going and the scope of what we're trying to do. Like, I think that's the most important thing that needs to be shared. I think a lot of people mistake good product management for just like good meeting hygiene and stuff like that. Whereas really it's like the fundamental role of a PM is just to make sure the team understands what problems are we solving? Why are we solving them? What's our appetite for it? How big the solution should be, and how will we know if we were successful? And then more so than that, representing that back to the rest of the organization, championing the team's work, showing up to meetings and asking, well, what about the app? You know, as I always laugh at, like, the biggest role of a mobile PM is to just show up to company meetings and make sure people remember that the mobile app exists and we all need to think about it. But yeah, I think it's cool to hear that resonated with you guys, because I really wanted to take advantage of the fact that Buffer would just let us, you know, make it work however made the most sense for us.
I love it. I love that phrase too, that, hey, what about the mobile app? Yeah, because that's something that we always tried to kind of communicate from our little corner and Buffer as the mobile team. And not that it fell on deaf ears, just that, like, as you said, it's kind of hard to kind of have that vocalization, if you will, unless you've got someone in the role. It kind of reminds me, I don't know, this might be a totally United States thing. Do you all have Kool-Aid up there in Canada, don't you, Steve?
Yeah, we do.
All right. So, you know, the Kool-Aid man, like how he busts through the room. He's like, hey, I was like, that's what we need for a PM. We just need someone to bust through the door and just say mobile.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's in a way, I'm proud you are Kool-Aid man.
Well, you know, I will wear that mantle happily. It's kind of true. And it's already, I think it's not even just about thinking about the mobile app. It's thinking about the ecosystem and how the ecosystem is different. Like, I think it's something that mobile teams will often take for granted, but like the biggest difference between mobile and web, for example, is like, you can't roll back a mobile release. You can only roll forward. And I think like there's tons of things like that. The App Store guidelines and the ecosystem, all of Apple's rules for playing in their sandbox, et cetera. Like, there are a lot of unique constraints and guidelines that mobile apps are beholden to that a web app is not, right? Like compared to the App Store, publishing a web app is like the Wild West. You can do whatever you want, right? So it's not just about thinking like, what about the web, but also like helping the surface. It's like, well, no, if you want to surface that functionality, it's paid functionality. And if we're not currently allowing people to sign up through our app, we can't surface that without building an in-app purchasing flow, things like that. And like, not only being able to represent the mobile app, but kind of voice those things early enough in the process that they get considered. I mean, I even just came out of a meeting where we're talking about, you know, email verification flows and having to talk about like, well, if we, you know, if you want to build like a Google sign-in button in a mobile app, you also have to build a sign-in with Apple button, and that might have to support Face ID. There's a lot of conversations that we need to have around that before we kind of commit to doing it as a company, and its impact on mobile. So I think those are like, you know, even just being able to do that early and often so that you guys don't just get blindsided by it, I think is an important function of my Kool-Aid man role for sure.
You got to go update your LinkedIn now.
Yeah. I love it. I'll change my picture.
Yeah. I think we're already starting to see some of these benefits like play out, like even that example of having someone in the room for mobile is like, we can see that with Calendar and some of the other smaller projects we've been on, is that the mobile voice is more present now, and like that's having a knock-on effect on the things that we are building.
Yeah, for sure. And I think even going a step further to how new feature launches get marketed. Like, I think like even just being able to say, it's like, you know, being able to show up to the meeting and being like, well, our mobile release will be already around the same time as the web release. Why don't we do a coordinated marketing push? And just like, or seeing that marketing conversations are going to happen about a big release, and being able to say, well, hey, I mean, like, why not get me in the room and show our features, you know, show our users that this exists on mobile as well. Like, I think it's really easy as a product organization to kind of think about our products in silos: mobile, our publishing platform, our analytics platform, engagement, our internal tools, etc. Like, the way we're built as an organization makes it easy to kind of think about those distinct parts of the product. But as far as our users go, they're using Buffer, and so if something gets shipped on web and doesn't exist on mobile, they don't think about the fact that there's two different engineering teams with different roadmaps that have to figure that out. They just think, well, why did Buffer do that? And so like, kind of forcing that way of thinking, you know, to happen earlier as we plan things, I think, you know, that's also been a nice knock on benefit there, to help position it like that and kind of contextualize it that, you know, if we go to market with this and then just kind of limp out with it a little while later, or even worse, like ship it first on mobile, never talk about it, and then do a big marketing splash when it ships on web, you know, it's going to have a knock-on effect on how our users think about our mobile app, right?
That's true. It's such a good point too about like the coordinated launches, because in the before time, if you will, when we were PM-less, like there were times where we would just kind of wing it for more or less. Like, we would ship maybe something on iOS and be like, oh wait, is this in Android, and vice versa, and then we'd be like, oh yeah, let's go ahead and get that out the door. I didn't know this was launched yet or that was out yet. So even that internal coordination within just mobile too is already gotten better. So that's something that like I've definitely noticed, and like you said, just having a seat at the table and like saying, hey, we want to launch this alongside web is a huge benefit, because like you said, it's Buffer holistically, not just Buffer, you know, the mobile app, because we are a platform, mm-hmm. right? Not just an app.
I think like outside of the feature work and that. I also, in terms of like benefits or experiencing, like for me, I've been really seeing the benefit from like the cycle planning that we've been doing and the cycle grooming, just because, like, again, it's that whole thing of other teams were doing it before, and I feel like we weren't really doing it like thoroughly, and I always felt like our cycles were just continuing. Like there was never like a clear definition of like, oh, this is the work we're doing for this cycle, and then like not having the milestone of the completed work, and the cycles kind of all just felt like they merged into one. So I've seen a clear benefit from having that planning, having that grooming, and then having the cycle finish and move on to the next one. And yeah, I'm not sure that's felt by others, but that's something that I've been thinking about recently.
Yes, no more mega cycles. We actually have cycles that someone plans out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it can, I think the thing you always protect against there is that making sure that those types of things are valuable. Because I know in Scrum, like the concept of like a sprint or cycle goal is really big. And it's like, what are we committing to this cycle? And are we going to do it? And that kind of thinking can help you think more iteratively. It kind of forces you to think, well, what customer value are we going to ship this cycle? And you're not always going to be able to ship value every cycle. Some projects you take on just by their very nature, require a more thoughtful approach, just in terms of how impactful they'll be, especially in the app space. Like if you're doing anything that with regards to sign up flows, billing, et cetera. And like I said before, you don't get a chance to roll back in the app store. You can only move forward. So, sometimes you need to be a little bit more thoughtful about those kinds of things. But the thing I really like about that, like embracing the thought of the cycle, is over time, as we start, getting our own hands on the roadmap, because we're still very much, we have the PM, we have our processes, but it's a lumbering freight train rolling down the tracks, and that we're already kind of convinced we had this quarter. But as we move into future quarters and start to kind of plan our own roadmaps a little bit more, and maybe even make the web app adjust to some things we're doing for a change, stuff like that. Like I think that concept of having those cycles and thinking 3 weeks at a time, and thinking, well, what chunk of value can we deliver in these next 3 weeks? I think that's like I think every product organization struggles with trying to be more agile, ship value more often in smaller chunks. And I think that's the benefit of that. There's also obviously benefits to just kind of working in more of a Kanban style and just always making sure you're working on the most important thing. But I think the way we've kind of adjusted our processes in the last 90 days, in my opinion, I think is kind of the best of both worlds, where we worry a lot less about like firm commitments, and we're just kind of like next thing up on the backlog. But we're taking time once a cycle to make sure we have alignment on what's most important, have alignment on why we're doing it, what's valuable. And I think that kind of alignment on the team is what allows the engineering team to make more kind of micro decisions on their own, which you guys are very good at, and allows the PM to think more holistically about the roadmap and not have to be so involved in the day-to-day minor decision making. You know, like all the decisions you guys make as a team are in terms of how we execute on things are good ones because of that sense of alignment. I mean that's at least that's the way I see it from my side. I'd be curious to see if you guys feel the same, for sure.
Yeah, one thing I like about with leaning into these cycles is that I was a little bit hesitant early on, like, are we going to have to like give these firm dates? Like, this is going to be done on, August 19th at 5 p.m. Because, if there's the biggest lie engineers ever tell is like, it's going to take this long, because it's just, you're never right. Guessing in software engineering is like impossible. You're either, really low or you're really high. And every now and then you kind of get that sweet spot where you're kind of right where you thought it would be. But with cycles, it kind of builds in that, margin of error. Instead of saying it's going to be on this date, it's in this cycle, right? And that cycle spans, several weeks. So that part of it, I think, has made the guesstimation game a lot more, let's say, less stressful and accurate, and lets us plan a little bit easier. So that part of it, I think, is going really well. But aside from those, one thing I wanted to do in this episode is put you right square on the hot seat, Steve, and ask you kind of as a mobile PM, if anyone out there is listening and, maybe if they've got a mobile team in their org, kind of smaller like us, or they've had one around for a while, from your first 90 days and your previous experience too. You were a mobile PM before you joined Buffer. Kind of what's your just maybe one to two big takeaways on kind of how the PM can help the mobile team move forward, especially in a mobile sense? Like, of course, there's a lot of great PM advice out there, and there's a lot of, you know, tried and true methodologies, I'm sure, as a PM that each one uses. But in terms of strictly and specifically mobile, what would you say to an aspiring PM or someone looking to bring one on to kind of these things can kind of help the mobile team move forward or be more efficient? Your elevator pitch, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. I think the one thing I hear a lot of people talk about in terms of like mobile, you kind of touched on it earlier. It's like that idea, like, is your mobile app like feature complete? Are you a companion app to the product? People often talk about like those two extremes on the spectrum. It's like, which way are you going to go with your mobile app? And I think in my experience, that answer is not the same for every company. And like I say, it is a bit of a spectrum where it's not necessarily about, are you feature complete or are you a companion app that only does certain things? It's a lot. And maybe this answer kind of weasels a little bit more towards the companion app idea more than I'd like to say. But I think it's like the biggest thing that the PM needs to bring to the table is you need to just like get a really good sense from the users who are, you know, all, both using your mobile app, but also users who will occasionally use your mobile app but more rely on your web app tool. You need to have a really firm understanding of what problem is that user trying to solve when they pull out their phone and tap on the Buffer app, right? Like it's you don't need to necessarily worry about feature parity. You need to worry about making sure that the right features are there at the right time for when the user expects to interact with them. Like I say, the user doesn't think, this is a job for the Buffer app. Oh, this is a job for Buffer on web. They think, oh, I need to log into Buffer to do this. What are those thoughts that, you know, kind of trigger that activation loop into your mobile app and get them into the mobile app? And then further from that, what are the triggers that they kind of experience during their day that should be bringing them into the Buffer app that currently don't? What don't they, like, what's missing from that experience that keeps them from logging directly into Buffer versus Instagram and LinkedIn, multiple different apps that they, you know, throughout the day? So, I think that's the biggest thing is just understanding, understanding which jobs to be done, to use a PM phrase. Are your customers pulling their phone out of their pockets to accomplish in your app, and then having, you know, laddering that up into like into a good understanding of what the vision for the app should be. I think the biggest thing that I need to do, you know, as I get more settled in, is kind of lay more track for the team and build more of that like foundational vision around, like, you know, what is that thing that we need to be doing, what features are important to fill in, but also what opportunities might exist for the mobile app that are unique to the mobile space that might not be relevant to web. So I think it's probably a really long-winded way of saying, at the end of the day, you know, my role is just to make sure what our users expect out of us is reflected in the vision and direction that we set for the mobile app.
Yeah. Nice, well said. Makes a lot of sense.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing all that, Steve. Yeah, well, I've had a great time chatting to you in this episode. Been really cool to reflect on the history of mobile in terms of the PM and where we're at now. So yeah, looking forward to chatting more about this in future and seeing how this all shapes us within the apps team.
Yeah, awesome. It was really great it was really fun to kind of take a chance to step back and think about some of these things as a team. It already even spurs some thoughts for what we can do down the road. And yeah, always happy to talk shop with you guys for sure.
Great. Well, I'll catch you both later.
Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks so much.